All right. Everybody doing good this morning? Well, let's see what we got. All right, so we're going to do chapter 19, the Lord's Passover. So some of y'all might remember this. What was the 10th plague on Egypt? That's right. So the 10th plague is where God is going to kill the firstborn of every Egyptian and of all the animals too. Okay, so Moses and Aaron was told of this, but it hasn't happened yet, right? All right, so why would Israel's firstborn not die?
Because he would put the blood of the lamb on their door.
That's right. God would pass over because there was a substitute for the firstborn. All right, so we're going to read Exodus 12, 1 through 13. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year for you." Anybody guess what month that would be in our calendar? Extra bonus question. So it's March, end of March, around beginning of April. So it's pretty close. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to him, next to his house, take it according to the number of persons, according to each person, each man's need, shall make your account for the lamb." Okay, so if you have a, so Ray, what's a lamb weigh? 1 year old?
70 pounds.
70 pounds. So if you can eat 3 pounds of meat and you only have three people, that's only 9 pounds. You got a lot of meat left over, right? So you get a bigger family together, a couple households, you might be able to consume the whole lamb. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." So does this, what do you think this word blemish means, without blemish? So it can't be, can't have a broken leg, lame. Okay, so that'd be something wrong with it, right? It's got to be perfect. Can't be blind in one eye. You know, can't be like Deuce the pig. You know? So it's got to be perfect lamb, you know? Or with the goat, got to be perfect. "Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight." All right, so what's twilight? Right when it gets dark, right? And so it says that they got to keep it. So where are they keeping it? Backyard, front yard, in the house? Probably somewhere outside, I would hope. All right, but they got to care for it for 4, maybe 5 days, depending on if they get it on the 10th, 11, 12, 13, 14, 4 days. So they got to care for it, make sure it's got water and food. So they kind of get to know it a little bit. The kids might play with it, pet it and stuff, you know. So they get close to it. "They shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw." Ooh, you ever eat raw meat? Nah. "Or boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails." So that's telling me they're taking this whole animal and roasting it without removing the insides and all of that. Okay, so that's kind of strange, right? We don't do that. Nobody eats, well, Don't say nobody eats the guts, but some people do. So they're going to roast it. It doesn't say anything about shaving the hair off it either. I don't know if you ever smell burnt hair. Whew, stinks. So they're cooking this thing, right? You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. At first I thought that's kind of a contradiction. Don't let nothing remain but eat everything and then burn what's remained. So another way of saying that is whatever you can't eat, you got to burn because they don't want any of it remaining until morning. Okay, so they eat as much as they can. And I can maybe eat 4 pounds, maybe a pound over here, the rest of y'all, you know. So it's going to take quite a few people to eat the whole thing. So they'll burn the rest of it. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hands. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So what's the picture here? They're eating this thing. Why would they have to have a belt around their waist? Okay. So what kind of clothing did they wear back then? They were real long, robey thing, you know. So it gets real flappy. It's kind of hard to run with a flappy material, so they put a belt around their waist, and it pulls it tight, and they can run better, okay? So it says to eat it in haste. That means eat it and be ready to move when they're given the command to move. So they got their sandals on, they got their belt on, they got their staff in their hand. As soon as they're done eating and burning that thing, they're ready to go, okay? For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So why do you think he puts that in there? I am the Lord. That's right. He's telling them, I'm the one that is sovereign over life and death. He's the creator of all things. So he's got the power to do all of this. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. All right. So... all right, the Lord commands Israel to... let's back up. We have a few questions. All right, so what did the Lord command Israel to do before the Passover? Go ahead.
To get along with the Passover before the Passover and then
roast it. On their doorposts. So most of the houses back then, the doorposts, they had big... post on each side that would support the roof and the opening, and they had the thing across the top was the lintel, so they had to go from top to bottom all the way across and down. Okay, so it covered the whole thing. Why, what did the Lord command the Israelites to eat? Why did the Lord command the Israelites to eat the lamb with a belt on their waist, sandals on their feet, and a staff in their hand? They had to be ready. Okay, they're on. It's like on the starting line, you know. They all get down here, they're ready to go. Right? All right, what would happen when the Lord saw the blood on Israel's houses?
He would pass over.
Pass over. So what's that mean?
He wouldn't go in
and
he'd keep on going.
Right, so he would see that blood was there. And he would simply pass over that firstborn, right? All right, I'm not going to kill that one. Move to the next house. Blood on that one. So none of the Israelites' firstborn lost their life. Why, the Lord commands Israel to observe the Passover by killing a lamb in place of Israel's firstborn. The Lord kindly and generously provided a lamb. Can you think of another instance in the Old Testament where God provided a lamb for a sacrifice? Abraham and Isaac. So he was about to, Abraham was about to kill him, right, with the knife. And God said, "Ooh!" Angel said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" And then they saw a lamb in the thicket, so they used that. So that's a whole same picture. And what's the who's the ultimate Lamb of God? Jesus. That's right. And so we have all these pictures of this lamb taking the place of somebody else dying. And that's why in the New Testament we get the stories or sayings that Christ is the Lamb of God. So he's the lamb that God provided for us. He had done this before Mount Moriah when Abraham was about to kill his son Isaac, and the Lord provided a lamb to die in Isaac's place. This time the lamb would die in the place of Israel's firstborn. When its blood would be spread on the doorway of Israel's home, it was a sign that the lamb's death was substitute for the death of the firstborn. When the Lord would see the blood, he would pass over the house of the firstborn, and they would be safe. So just like us, when judgment comes, right? So God's going to see the blood of Christ, so to speak, covering us. And he's going to pass over us and not judge us and pour his wrath on us. Any family that spread the blood of the lamb on their doorpost was safe. Sure, they probably had many fears. Will the blood really keep death away? What if we don't have enough faith? Should we do something more? But even though they may have fears, not one of the firstborn perished. So, you know, maybe they were thinking, well, should we lock the door? Should we board up the windows? You know, is there anything they could have done besides the blood on the doorpost that would, you know, because the Lord does, Lord is a spirit, right? So he goes right through a house, you know, locked doors, all that. Right? The houses that spread the blood were safe and secure, every last one of them. It did not matter if the people inside had a lot of faith or little faith, many fears or no fears. If they believed God's word and spread the blood on the doorway, their firstborn would be saved from death. The New Testament teaches that Christ is our Passover. Whoever has been covered by his blood is eternally safe from God's judgment. It does not matter if they doubt sometimes or struggle with many fears. Christ's blood is enough to save all who believe. They are safe, eternally safe. Okay, so it is by Christ's sacrifice, his death, his blood. You know, blood signifies someone's dead, right? So the lamb, he bled, right? So when the blood's out of the body, they die. So that was the substitute, just like with Christ. He bled also. They are safe, eternally safe, in love and grace of Almighty God. We can feast on Christ's goodness, knowing that his death sets sinners free from bondage and fills their hearts with gladness and joy. What does the blood represent in the Exodus story? So if you have blood, where'd that blood come from? And what happened to where it came from? So what's the blood represent? It represents sacrifice, but so when you have a sacrifice, what do you have to do with that sacrifice?
Burn it.
Yeah, burn it. So another thing you got to do is you have to kill it, right? So like these firstborn, they were going to die, but instead the lamb died, and the blood signified the lamb's substitutional death. Okay. How can we rest confidently in the faith and be free from fear of death? right? Having faith in Christ, trusting in faith, by trusting in Christ in his bloody death on the cross. So, you know, people will say, I'm covered by the blood of Christ. Well, that simply means that Christ's death has paid for their sin debt. Was there anything the Israelites could do to make their houses safer beyond putting the blood of the lamb on the doorpost? No, there's nothing. That was the only thing that could save them, was the substitutional death. Okay? So God redeems us. Then, so, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, yeah, you got faith, but you got to do this and you got to do that. All right, so, you know, you got to do all these good works. So, but the truth is that God redeems us, then we do good works. And any idea why we do good works? Is it to earn favor with God? No. It's because, we don't add any works don't add anything to our redemption or our salvation, but we're to be what? Like God. Holy like God. So this is why and good works is basically being obedient to God and his word. Okay? What you got? You got a question? Yeah. God, nobody. He's always been there. It blows your mind, doesn't it? He's always been there. And once we get into heaven, you can ask him that question, okay? Because nobody here can really answer that except for what I said. All right, so let's close in prayer. Dear Father in heaven and our gracious God, Father, we do thank you and praise you that you provided a sacrifice for us, that we don't have to take our due punishment, take the due wrath that should be ours. And Father, we praise you, we thank you, we ask that our worship of you today would be pleasing, and that you would continue to grow us in your grace, in our sanctification. We thank you for the leadership, Father. We thank you for all those that teach this morning in the Sunday school and then the preaching that we have. We just thank you, Father, for all that are here. And may the hearing of your word produce greater and greater righteousness in us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.